Let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and then find the Deep Dive into Scripture link at the top of the page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on that page. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm here in the studio with Father John Wargle. Father John, welcome.
Hello, Danny.
And it's great to be here today. We're going to talk about something. As soon as I saw the title to this post of yours, We Are Kings and Queens.
Right.
It made me happy. I thought, yes, finally, I'm a king. I'm in charge of something. But
right. It
really has to do with this verse in Scripture that we're going to talk about today in Genesis, still in Genesis chapter 1. It's Genesis 1:28 that says, fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. And so we're going to talk about all those terms.
Yeah.
Go for
it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, you know, we get a little queasy, don't we, when we use words like subdue and, you know, reign, but they're positive terms in the Bible. So the question is, are we going to conform ourselves to the way Scripture thinks, or are we going to think the way that our culture basically has presented to us? Danny, since the 17th century, something has happened in Western culture. It started out with Descartes and carried on with Bacon. It's called Baconian.
I saw that term and I thought, wait a minute, what is that?
Baconian, right.
Bacon?
It's like Draconian, right?
Yes, Draconian, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, basically it's this. The world is a machine, and we can, with our brains, with our rationalism, like Descartes said, cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am, separating mind and matter. We've talked about that before. I believe what is happening here is that our Western culture has exploited the earth. It's a machine to be manipulated. And so therefore, we're all going to have a negative feeling about subdue and reigning, right?
Sure.
Because it's been processed in our culture in extremely negative ways. I mean, I love William Blake's poem, Jerusalem, very famous line, these two lines, and did the countenance divine shine forth upon our clouded hills? And was Jerusalem builded here among these dark satanic mills? You see, he was at the very beginning of the Industrial Revolution.
Right. So he was really looking at something that was radically, he could see it was radically wrong.
Yeah.
And it was right at the beginning. So.
And everybody was really crazy about this. This is, yeah. Look, we can manufacture things. We can have all these sort of things. And it's all basically done with no regard at all to nature and creation, right? So he saw that, right? So we sort of have to reinterpret the vocabulary.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a good thing to subdue. It's a good thing to rule. Matter of fact, by nature, we have to do this. We're all given authority and responsibility over something, right?
Yes. I mean, like me, for me and my children.
Well, of course. I've driven by your house, Danny. And you know, I don't see any weeds, or I don't see the place overgrown with chaos, right? We're all fighting chaos, right? You got a big fluffy dog, right?
Sure.
And you're responsible for that dog. Mm-hmm. You're the authority of that dog. Now, that dog has certain rights by being a creation of God, and you have to fulfill those rights. You have to feed it, take care of it, blah, 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 right?
Sure. And I think that for me, that's the issue with these words, is that I just think, I agree completely with what you're saying, but I just think that people saw those terms and then defined them as something a little bit different. Like, we can just whatever we want.
That's right.
And that's, you know, that doesn't fit within the model or what's happening in the scriptures.
It's the old exploiting model. that the modern world has bought into.
Sure, same as Industrial Revolution when they started.
Yeah.
I mean, we can do anything.
Huge dark side to that. I mean, massive. What it done to relationships, what it has done with our cosmology, which we're talking about here. Cosmology, how do you view the world? Is the world something for us that we can do anything we want with, or are we to nurture it?
Mm-hmm.
And so the scriptures, and especially this chapter here, very important. It starts with the creation of inanimate things. And then the fourth day, we have the stars and the moon and what have you. They're inanimate objects. But it's very important to realize that, and I think I mentioned this before, it avoids the word Shemesh for sun. It just says the greater light.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because Shemesh sounds like Shamash, and Shamash is the sun god.
Ah, right. Okay, gotcha.
And then the moon, Yareach, it says the lesser light. Mm-hmm. Yareach is the moon. And it doesn't want to use that word because it's too close to the idea of the moon god.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then it says, almost like a side, oh, he made the stars also. I mean, good heavens.
Yeah.
Danny, I mean, the stars, astrology, all that goes in it, you know?
Yeah.
The stars are the immovable things up there. That means of all things in the world, you know, everything's moving, but the stars to them, we're not moving.
Yeah. It's interesting. Because of this and right. because of what you wrote, I started looking into stars a little bit. And I thought, oh my gosh, they think that there's 32 trillion galaxies.
Good heavens.
You know, I mean, it's just, talk about billions and billions. No,
right.
It's way more than that.
Right. Right. But the pagans, you know, would look up there and say, well, these must be divinities.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. The sun god brings light and what have you. They're nature gods. And then you have on the fifth day, the filling, you know, with the birds. And, of course, the fish in the sea. But if you look in the pagan lore, I mean, look at Egyptian stuff, you know, the hawk, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the worship of these animals.
Yep.
It's not so much, maybe not, you know, worship these animals, but they're representations of these nature deities. And so, therefore, these deities are placed above and beyond humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then the sixth day, the land animals, of course, fertility religions, especially in the Old Testament, the bull and what have you, Baal, fertility. So all of nature is alive.
Yeah.
It's teeming with deities. And if you want to get along in this sort of a cosmology, then you better sacrifice to the storm god, or otherwise he just might zap you with lightning.
I mean, sure. Do something to make them happy. Keep them happy.
Right. If a guy's walking down the road and gets hit by lightning, we would just say, well, the poor dude, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, 1 in 10 million.
You know, it was his time, you know, like that. That's far too impersonal for the ancients. They would say, the nature god got him.
Yeah.
The storm god got him. Baal or Thor.
And then maybe look into what did he do?
What did he,
that
right.
was that caused them to have right. their wrath, take on
or
their wrath
on him? Or what didn't he do? Maybe he didn't offer in their temple. So mm-hmm. they lived in constant fear of nature, and the gods were as arbitrary as you know, as the weather.
Well, I was going to say as nature.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website, and then select the Deep Dive into Scripture link at the top of that page. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
The nature god got him.
Yeah.
The storm god got him. Baal or Thor.
And then maybe look into what did he do?
What did he,
that
right.
was that caused them to have right. their wrath, take on
or
their wrath on
him? Or what didn't he do? Maybe he didn't offer in their temple. So mm-hmm. they lived in constant fear of nature, and the gods were as arbitrary as you know, as the weather.
Well, I was going to say as nature.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so what this chapter is turning that cosmology on its head.
Good.
Because humans are created last
mm-hmm.
and therefore has the priority and given the responsibility, Danny, to rule and subdue. Rule is a good thing because what it means is that you are a conqueror of chaos, which is always encroaching upon us, right?
Mm-hmm. Like my yard, yeah.
Like your weeds and yard, right? So you've had, you know, and your kids, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. everything, you know, if you didn't exercise your authority in your domain that God has given you, chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a good thing. So we're made, because we're made in the image of God, we're made as royalty. And especially when we see the incarnation, right? Where Jesus is the king, he's our brother, he took on flesh, our flesh, and we become a part of a royal family, really, mm-hmm. when you get down to it.
Sure. It's just, if you would, spend a couple more seconds on that term cosmology and maybe eschatology, because that's...
Yeah.
So there's So I understand that it's the study of sort of the origins and endings, right? So that's the beginnings and the ends of our, of all that's around us. So say our, now I'm going to say universe, but it's our universe, what we touch and
Danny,
feel.
That is so important. I'm glad you're asking that, because if we don't know the beginnings of something and its purpose and meaning, and of course our purpose in the beginning here given to us is to rule and subdue the chaos in the earth. And by doing so, you're nurturing the earth and everything around you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gotcha.
You're to make it a garden. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know there's a lot of nature people out there just love everything to be run wild because they think that that's the greatest thing. Okay. Uh-huh. But in the biblical world, no, it's the beauty of crafting it is the creativity that we use to make everything beautiful is something that God is very interested in us doing. So this is the beginnings. This is the meaning and purpose for us to do, to fill and subdue the earth. Without that meaning and purpose, then we have a cosmology that is without meaning and purpose.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, as we said before, time, the time that's structured in the chapter, moving from one day to the next to the ultimate goal, which is the Sabbath, rest, where God and man live together in harmony, is the goal.
Yeah.
That's the eschatology. So eschatology is built right into the creation narrative,
mm-hmm.
its origins and its ends. And the ending is always hidden in the DNA of the origins.
Ah, oh, okay.
So this is our cosmology. I mean, it's all wrapped up in this chapter. Think about the cosmology. Everybody's got a cosmology, whether they think about it or not. Okay, it could be simply a pure materialistic one. Well, vaguely, I know that we all sort of evolved by chance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so right away, you don't really have a meaning. And then you think of time. Oh, my goodness. We've mentioned this. It's your enemy because it's taking you down, right?
Yeah, sure, yeah. Dying someday.
And that, you know, there are a lot of people made politically inclined, like Marxists. They have an eschatology that if we humans just put our minds together and we get all on board with making this life good for everyone with our technology, with, you know, all that sort of thing, that then life somehow is going to be better, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there is some kind of a hope that is in a lot of our, I mean, it's election time, Danny.
Yep.
Right? Everybody's trying to instill a sense of eschatology that, hey, you know, things can be better and, you know, you can do this, especially if you vote for me.
Sure. Yeah. Of course.
Right. You know, without God, it's not going to go anywhere, right? And so this is the beauty of this cosmology.
Mm-hmm.
We have a beginning, a purpose, and it's specific. And it also tells us about who we are. We're made in the image of God. We are superior to everything that we rule over.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's a good thing.
I can also see that people's cosmologies are going to have an impact on, first of all, who they are.
Yes.
But it's also going to have an impact on how they treat other people, like whether
Excellent.
They can be in relationship or not, because if they don't believe that there's a plan that came from a beginning and
right.
that there's a God involved, then
mm-hmm.
they're not going to have that kind of relationship or a kind of a loving relationship with other people.
That's right. We'll be using people, manipulating people. And quite frankly, this cosmology is one of hierarchy.
Mm.
Okay. Now, Aquinas says, we have being in common with stones and rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have life in common with the plants. We have the sensory powers in common with animals. And we've got this immortal soul that's in common with the angels. Okay.
Yeah.
And so we are sort of an amphibious being in that sense, that we work the spiritual and the physical. I mean, you know, your dog, beautiful and wonderful it must be, has no spiritual sense of anything, right?
Sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right.
Right. And so he's not your equal. And anybody who says that we are equal with the animals and with the stones and rocks, they're nuts, okay?
Well, their cosmology is just...
Right, right.
Not based on...
Yeah, it's democracy gone to seed. That's what it really is, okay? Democracy is something that doesn't really exist anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever government you have, it's the golden rule. He who has the gold rules, right?
Right, sure, yeah.
And that's how it is in our so-called democracy. I mean, so what this teaches us, there is a hierarchy, okay? Like, you know, Danny, I've never been really in charge of much of anything in my life. And all of a sudden, in my older age, I find myself a pastor of this church.
Church, the shepherd.
A shepherd.
I mean, that's quite an image right there.
Right. Yeah. And it is a ruling. It is a subduing, not ruling people and subduing them, but as a servant leader, mm-hmm. I've got to be in there with everyone like Jesus asked me to do. But still, I have authority that's given to me, and I've got to exercise that authority, because if I don't, chaos is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a hierarchy in our cosmology, which we should not be ashamed of. It's just true. All of us grow into a space of authority.
Mm-hmm.
As your kids get older, you give them a bit more space.
Sure.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And then they become independent and have their own cosmologies and their own dominance.
Yeah.
And subduing.
Yeah. And of course,
their own
we are
children.
All responsible for nurturing that which is under us.
Yeah, sure.
And not exploiting it. All this is hidden in the very structure of Genesis 1. So here we are. We're royalty. And we know this, because why in the world would we, in this so-called democracy, be so interested in all these programs of kings and queens?
Yes, right. Of course, yeah.
And of course, C.S. Lewis with Narnia, the four players, they're both kings and they're both queens.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's something within us. And that's that image of God, which tells us that we're royalty.
Sure, that we have to rule over something.
And we have to rule and we have to subdue. Yeah. And we have to be able to do that, and as we shall see as we go along, is self-mastery. Because if we can't rule and subdue our interior, then we are not going to be able to rule and subdue in a godly way, in a good fashion. The authority that God has given us.
Sure, so whatever it is that we're called to be in charge of.
Yeah. So this is a reversal of the pagan worldview, and it's making inroads even today into our culture. It's very interesting that the pagan witch doctor and the scientist have something very much in common, and that is they operate with the same cosmology.
Yeah, yeah.
The cosmology is that transcendence is really not there. This world sort of evolved by chance, or, you know, the pagans, what's imminent in this world is really ultimate, okay? And so the witch doctor would manipulate it by magic, whereas the modern scientist manipulates it by scientific method.
Yeah.
Okay, so they affirm the same thing, that this matter in this world, that's all there is. We have to deal with it.
And not only deal with it, but we're called to subdue and dominate it by manipulating it. I mean, you know, it's almost like that's their cosmology.
Right.
That's what we're called to do. Bending it to my will. That's it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Whereas Danny in the nurturing thing is that we empower everybody around us.
Yeah, sure.
And give them their space of authority and creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus does.
Good. Okay, well, shoo. So we're kings and queens. Get to work on dominating.
In the best sense of the word. Don't go tell Doris, okay, here, you know, Father John told me to dominate.
Subdue you. No, let's not go
okay,
there.
God bless.
Okay, take care. See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Deep Dive into Scripture link on that page for related text. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another Deep Dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.